Hazreti Mevlana Gaybulisab Rahmetullahi had come over to Saharanpur. Incidentally, Hazreti Mevlana Ulyasab Rahmetullahi also was around at Saharanpur. So the discussion was going on. Well, perhaps we should go to Thanabol. We are very, very much desirous to go over to Thanabol. As they were discussing, so one said that we desire, and the other said that we don't have that level of adab. When we don't have that level of adab, perhaps our going will cause some taklif to Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. This discussion was going on, and one young student was overhearing what was going on. So he went later this to Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that this is the discussion that was going on. Towards the end of his life, he had a hernia problem. But because of the hernia problem, he wouldn't undertake any journey unless it was extremely important. But rather, generally, he won't undertake any journey. So when Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah heard this, he says that had I not had this problem, I would have come myself to meet them. Now, look at it, look at the story, and see the regards, the respect that both have for each other. Right? Though Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah is senior, but the consideration that he has for his juniors, and these people are great buzurgs in their own ways, they are very great buzurgs with great, great followings. Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, the whole world is following him. Raipuri Sahib got following right through Pakistan, India, everywhere got following. So in spite of their popularity, in spite of their position, their following and their numbers and all that, yet this doesn't mean that because they are popular and they've got a huge following that they shouldn't show regards. And in the meanwhile, Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah is not their sheikh, nor is he the ustad. Normally a person will respect when you hear that this is the sheikh, this is my ustad. So we go and show some respect. Now, yeah, that's not the case. But yet they show that regards, that respect. It's something that we need to learn in this age. This age, what has happened to us is everything must appeal to my mind. Whether it is right or not right, it's a different thing. But does it come to my mind? So I will see it. If it comes to my mind, I will accept. If it doesn't come to my mind, then I don't accept. That few days ago, I was explaining that how much the Quran Sharif emphasizes on adab. Even in your mental self, mentally also, you need to have respect. When that verse was revealed, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوا يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِاللَّهِ, if you conceal what's in your mind, or you revealed, then Allah Ta'ala will call you to account. So the Sahaba Ikram were very much worried, very much afraid, shaken up. Yeah, all right, those things that we can reveal, can expose, we have control over. But those things that happen within our minds, we have no control over. Within the mind, all type of thoughts run around. There's a lot of activity in our minds. There's a lot of activity in our minds. All type of thoughts run around. We can't control that. If we can't control that, then are we going to be taken to account? So they expressed their concerns to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explain to them that we shouldn't be like the Bani Israel who say Sami'na wa Asina. When they get a command from Allah Ta'ala, then they say we hear and we disobey. Now that's the position with the Bani Israel. You people are a chosen class above the rest. So your response to this type of situation must be different. You will look at it from a different perspective. You look at it like this, that it is Allah Ta'ala that is commanding. When it is Allah Ta'ala that is commanding, then He made you and He knows your faculties. He knows your limitations. He knows your faculties, He knows your limitations, and then He's commanded you. So when He knows about you, He's made those faculties in you, and yet He's commanded you, then when He makes a command, you might just say, we hear and we obey. We hear and we obey. Now, some things may not appeal to reason. We can't get to terms with it. We can't understand the finer nitty-gritties. But it is the command of Allah Ta'ala. When it is the command of Allah Ta'ala, we say, all right, it's the command of Allah Ta'ala. He made us. He knows our limitations. So we will just accept it. He knows why He has made this type of a command. We don't need to know exactly why He made this command, why didn't He make this command. We don't need to know. La yus'alu wa hum yus'alun. He is not answerable, we are answerable. He is obeyed, we don't have to be obeyed. Right? So we need to understand that Allah Ta'ala is the one to whom obedience belongs to. It is He that is not answerable. Nobody can question Him. And we are answerable, we are questionable at any point in time. So what is your response? Your response is Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. So the Sahaba-i-Kiram's level of adab is so deep that it goes right to the heart. One is the adab that we display. Someone elders come around, so we show him some gesture of respect. We take cognizance of his presence. When elders come, so we won't talk aloud because he's an elder. We will greet him. If we're doing something, we'll leave it aside and we'll pay some attention to the person that is there around. See? Now this is adab, and we show that adab generally. Right? Nowadays, I have to show it to many youngsters when they come into the madrasa. Okay. If it is your ustad, it's some senior person, official of the madrasa, then you can't be walking around with your pockets, with your hands in your pockets. Now, these children are trained to think, but why? And they will shrug their shoulders. You know? Hey, what's wrong? What's wrong? Now, they feel that they want smarter, and when they want smarter, then that requires them to behave like how they're behaving. And if you say something against that, then as though what you are saying is wrong. So that means the training wasn't right. The parents didn't give them the right training. And that wrong training is surfacing here. So they need to give them the training. Right? It's your elder, whatever it is, you show him the respect. Some type of respect, you don't question it. You don't ask. One senior person is going. And from the other end, a small child is coming in. Small child, he's about 8, 9, 10 years of age. The side is his grandfather. So they come, they crisscrossing each other. So the youngster doesn't greet the elder. So the elder says to the youngster, but don't you know it is adab? That the younger must greet the elder. So the young child says, but I am greater than you in ilm. I am a hafiz. I can read the Quran Sharif with tajweed. And you're not a hafiz, nor do you know tajweed. So in ilm and knowledge, I am greater. though in age you are greater. Now, if a child is going to have this type of an attitude, I ask, is a child going to progress? He can't progress like this. He can't progress. So certain levels of respect, they must just show it. You will, in time, time will tell you all right why you must do it. But certain things may not appeal to your mind straight away. Though in some regards, you may have something that he doesn't have. But seniority is something. Seniority is something to be recognized. And you're going to question that, then you will create a lot of confusion because you are saying as though that my mind is the benchmark, that's the threshold. If it falls within the ambit of my threshold, then that's respect. If it doesn't fall within that, then that's not respect. So as though your mind has become the threshold, that became the mayar. So these aspects of respect and adab, Sahaba Ikram are taught mentally as well, not only verbally but mentally. The Quran Sharif, one whole surah has been dedicated just to adab. Look at Surah Hujurat. You don't put yourself forward, don't make any advancements before Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul. For example, there is a sitting now, and in that sitting is the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? So you mustn't be forward, don't be forward. In other words, let the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say what he needs to say, then you must say. If he asks you, then you must say. But there is a sitting and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is around, and you want to be forward? No, that's not right. You know, these little aspects of adab, how great they are. In the same respect now, we are sitting on a table, for example. Right? It's an elder, and there are children around. They're sitting all in one table, on one dastarkhan to eat. Right? So adab will require that let the elder start off first. Although that food is meant for everybody to eat, it's not only for the elder to eat, it is meant for the elder as well as the children. And there will not be a difference if the elder starts off the food or the children start off the food. There won't be any change in the taste. Taste will be the same. But the adab requires that wait for that elder, let him start off. He'll start off, then you start off. In fact, you see amongst animals also, they got some consideration in that respect. In the animals, in the lions, you hear that the lioness normally makes the hunt, right? Lioness makes the hunt. Or the kitchen work is left for the woman. So the kitchen work is left for the lioness, she does the work, right? But then, first is the lion's share. The lion will come around, and he will take his share. When the lion has taken his share, then the rest, the lioness, the cubs, all will eat thereafter. So there is something like adab, consideration, respect, etc. And this is vanishing. Vanishing. And then the community, there is no enjoyment, there is no respect, there is no community feelings in a people when there is no respect. But if there's community feelings, you've got feelings for the person, you've got respect for his age, then you see him differently. This problem has come largely from the secular education. Secular education, when you analyze it, is just about money and how to turn digits, just multiply. Right? So it is just about multiplying your wealth, nothing else. So then it will... When you say it is just to multiply wealth, then if the person can multiply wealth, then he's shown the respect. Because he can multiply. He's a money machine. So because he's a money machine, so we will respect him. But the moment he can't make the money, becoming senile, becoming weak, and he can't make the money, he doesn't know now. So we don't show him any respect now. And then we'll put him down to such a point that we'll push him away to an old age. You know, you just go and park there, settle there now. Don't come in the mainstream now. Don't come around. See? So he will be isolated. But now, again, we will liken ourselves to animals. See? How we will liken ourselves? like you hear of a herd of elephants, right? So they have one leader amongst them. Right? They have one leader. Now, if that leader, that old elephant that was the leader, that was the head, that thing is aged now. And they can make out that that thing was aged, so they will separate this one here from the entire herd. Go aside now. And they'll choose another leader. But this thing is not even pensioned off, just pushed aside. So we don't realize that many a times we're living amongst them, getting our children, etc., educated. Then when you educate them in that system, then they begin to think like that. They begin to reason like that. They begin to see things like that. And now the person is aged, so he doesn't deserve any type of a respect. Like an animal now, he's past his expiry date. When he's past the expiry date, now he's expired, finished, now kalas, push him aside, let's continue. In Islam, as the person grows, the more he grows, elder he becomes, the greater respect we show him. Respect, see the dalil for that, the proof for that is imma yabluwanna indakal kibara. Look at this word, indakal kibara ahaduhuma aw kilahuma. And the parents, when they have to come up to old age, one of them or both of them. Right? So generally you will show respect to your parents, to your elders, generally, right? But if they are becoming old, then the Quran Sharif is showing now that respect them. In other words, now you must be even more particular. You had been respectful to them, but when they reach this age, where they're becoming unmanageable, you know, they can't manage their own affairs, they can't run their own things, right? Now, the Quran is saying, in the kal kibara, look at that word. The Quran didn't say to that, la tanharhuma, no. In the kal kibara fa la tanharhuma. When they come of that age, when they're becoming old, senile, etc., now you become even more particular about how you're going to show respect to them. Before you were respectful, you were considerate, you were kind and compassionate to them. But now you're going to be even more considerate. See that? فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْمَا. Now compare this to the youngster of this day. Now when he sees someone, I say, oh, so what? So what? Now what? He's not God now. We're not going to worship him. Are you eating? We've got a caregiver for the person, he must carry on now. So this is how we will reason. And this reasoning is influenced by secularism. Because secularism is just to make money. When it's to make money, now this person can't make money any longer, so that means we write him off, khalas. Pension him off, write him off, and khalas. That's the end of the person. No respect, no regards, no consideration, nothing. Whereas a human being is not just matter. He's not just matter. There's emotions in him. There's feelings in him. And those emotions and those feelings must be respected. How the person feels, though. That you no regards for the person, no respect for him. Nabi Sassam's grandchild passes away. Right? He's been teaching us that everything has a date. You know? When anything comes into this world, it comes with a set date. And then it can't exceed the date. So the date also is already defined. It's already fixed. You can't exceed it. But then Nabi Sassam is seeing the child passing away, and mother is around perhaps of the child. The Nabi Sallam is also affected. And he also tears. Innal aynaini latadma'an. Eyes, they tear. Right? So one person is asking now, Ya Rabbi Allah, what is this? He says, no, this is rahmat. Allah Ta'ala instills that rahmat into the hearts of his servants that he pleases. So Nabi Sallam is also compassionate and considerate to this child and to the child's mother. See the consideration. So we're not just material. Material, we've got emotions. And that those emotions must be respected. Don't we respect those feelings? If someone passes away, right, then around him, around the body, do we laugh and entertain ourselves and feast? Do we do that? But is it haram to do it? We don't say it's haram to do it, but do we do that? No. Respect requires something else. That is an animal behavior. You'll see that if you're slaughtering some roosters or chicken and all that, you'll be slaughtering this side. On the other end, they'll be eating and grazing and all that. And if they come around, they'll see some blood here, they'll eat that blood also. So that is an animal. But you are something superior. You're supposed to be showing feeling, respect, consideration. All these things must be shown. And those feelings, etc., must be from the heart. It mustn't be just a formality. In the circular, you'll have this again. You'll have this. Where there is some type of consideration, then it is just from the tongue. You'll find people that are educated in the circular, right? So they'll use this word, thank you, not to mention, it's a pleasure, it's well, we'll be happy to receive you, we'll be very honored to get you, all that. So it's just words. But within their hearts and minds, they don't have this thing. This also is important. I don't say it's not important. You got a guest and all that. You say thank you, jazakallah, you honored our occasion, etc. You say these type of words. But these words are not just said as a routine. It's not just said as a formality, as a way of respect. So if people don't have respect, can't progress. Can't progress, there is no enjoyment, there's no happiness in the people. We'll see in this blacks that are living in the villages, you know. Right. And if they have to give something or receive something, then they will bow down, they'll go down, they'll put their both hands like this, and then they will accept it. Although they're accepting it from a very old person. Old person has become senile. But they will show that type of respect and that type of consideration. That is why you just cross the border and you go into Zimbabwe. All this black respect is still found amongst them. It's still found amongst them. They haven't lost that respect. So as a result of maintaining that respect, there's a lot of security and a lot of peace there. You can walk at any time of the day and night. You don't feel scared. Number one. Number two, they're so particular about the elders that the elders up till now, they will decide when and where you must get married. All right, something a little bit more than what they're supposed to be doing, but they still have that amongst them. Although, comparatively, they are more educated than other blacks. Like if you look, education, etc., they are more. But they did not lose their own traditional ways, you know, respect. The person feels comfortable with them, feels comfortable, and overall, your wealth, your property, everything is safe. You feel comfortable, you feel nice, you feel happy living around. They have maintained the respect, they have maintained the regards for the elders, and in all that, they have also maintained the shame and haya. The shame and haya is of a very high level. You can't just dress up anyhow you want. You can't flirt around with a woman on the street open. You can't do it. That's a big crime, very big crime. So you can't do this type of thing. So whatever it is, but they maintained a lot of order, a lot of system, a lot of order. Right? Now, here you come, just cross over the border, like a junglistan. Oh, jungle, no respect, no consideration, no regards. Now look, these people, what they did. How they maintained their regards, their respect. And I say the older blacks that are right in the village, they have got it. Then they come into the city centers and they see urban life, they're mixing with other cultures, and they're losing it, you see. This is very important, very, very important. It preserves a people. It preserves the people, it brings about respect to them. There is a color in them. There is a system in them. A junior feels nice to be there. A senior feels nice to be there. And overall, when you look at the whole community, you feel that this is a respectable community. So anyway, we're talking about this story of Suryanadin and the respect, the regard they had. The regard for each other. Well, one time, Rahmatullah says that, Afsos, I have left our family because of my problem. They call it a hernia problem. And Muad didn't go for an operation. So if he's traveling, then it would cause an irritation. See, because he's traveling either on a horseback, with a lot of movement, or on a train. So you get that irritation. He left traveling, because he left traveling now, so he can't go and visit them. Now, here, that student that was carrying the message, he went and carried the message on that end again. Right. Yeah, this is what Maulana is saying. Muhammad Ilyas, see, when they talk also, they talk with so much of respect. So now we have to go. And children, as though we are Maulana's children, right? Children, sometimes you carry them in your laps and they urinate. Right? The old elders are elders. They know that our intention is not to hurt them, not to inconvenience them, not to disrespect them. But because of the children's limitation, they will behave like that. The child doesn't know. Right? Child doesn't know. And we say the child doesn't know things, right? See, a child is about 2 or 3 years, 3 years, right? He'll cry aloud. He'll say things and say it loudly. He doesn't feel ashamed of himself. But now the same child is about 25 now. Will he cry loudly, shout, and will he talk? Now he begins to become apprehensive. He looks at things differently. You know, what will people say? How must I conduct myself? Must I say this? Mustn't I say this? So the child was at 2, he was behaving differently. Now he became 23 now, or 22 now, now he's looking at things differently. So what I see now is our limitation. We don't know this. We're not going to disrespect him, but it is our limitation. We are small, and we don't know it. When we don't know it, so Mulan also knows that we are children. We are his children. When we are his children, then he'll overlook this. Now we must go and pay him a visit. Just look at the words, choice of the words, how they talk, how they conduct themselves. That is why Admiral Thami Sahib Rahmatullah is reported to have said, when we go to this eldest, Buzurgan Adin, and we don't go to them to learn ibadat, no, to learn their zohr. In other words, their style, their ways, their mannerisms. What is their outlook? What is their taste of life? What is their taste? We have to go and acquire the taste. See, it's a certain flavor, it's a certain spirit that's interwoven, right? It may be meat that you're eating, right? Maybe steak, right? But what's the taste that makes a world of a difference, right? If it's one white person that is preparing a steak, maybe it's halal, but you hear that the white person did the white style, you want to eat, don't eat, it's bland now, not going down, right? So it's the taste that you have to acquire from them. The taste that we have to acquire from them, yeah, what is the taste? How do they think? How do they look at situations? Right? What's their mindset like? Right? What's the frame of their mind? All this. Now you see all these things, then you don't have to be taught at every step. Because you've got the taste. Now you know exactly, all right, this is what is supposed to be done. Now, that is acquired when you are sitting amongst them for a long period at Mutfikar. The words of Hazrat Ahmed at Mutfikar. How they conduct themselves, what's supposed to be said, how it's supposed to be said. So you go there to acquire the zawq, not to acquire the ibadah. Ibadah you can do it yourself as well. Can't you do ibadah yourself? Right. You go there to acquire the zawq. Nonetheless, these people come to Thanabon. Hazmua Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi and Hazmua Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullahi. So, as usual, Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi stands up to show them respect, regard, etc. Although they are his juniors, but he stands up to respect them, welcome them, etc. Then he seats them on his place, like how this is a carpet now. So obviously that will be reserved for Hazrat, right? Now to sit someone there, it's a mark of respect. Now they are his juniors, in spite of them being his juniors, but he sits them there to show them additional respect and consideration. So for some time there is some silence, and then the silence breaks. Because perhaps they feel that he's the senior. And I said, don't be fooled. So when he's the senior, then let him start off. And more on his side, perhaps he doesn't want to start off straight away because they just came in from a suffer. So let them relax now for some moments, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, let them relax a little bit. Then we start off. So they just come straight away. What are you going to eat? So the man is still finding his feet, still breathing. You need to let him settle, let him calm down. Then you start off. See all this adab. You learn from the lives of our elders. But this is all for that person who's got fikr. How do you conduct yourself? How do you... When you got this type of thing, you know, then you make a lot of strides, though you may not be very, very educated. The elders in our family, they relate some stories, you know, of the old ladies. Families, they were not very educated. They didn't have any secular education. A little bit of primary madrasa education, that's all they had. But they explain what beautiful mothers they made, you know. So they talk about one woman. Now she's dead and gone a long time, maybe about 50 years ago she passed away. But what a great mother she was. So it used to be in the old days, then there was communal living, right? One home and everybody sharing the home. Some mother-in-law and her daughter-in-laws, everybody are sharing the home, you see. And for small reasons, the mother-in-law would take off. You spoiled this and you did this and you did this. And the daughter-in-law, she's coming from a very big family, very, very respectable, wealthy family. But she would keep quiet. When the scolding would go a little bit more, then she would tear, her face would become a little bit red, and she won't say a word. But meanwhile, this one's sister-in-laws, in other words, that mother's daughters, they would say, but you must speak, you must say something. Why don't you say? Well, the own sister-in-laws are coming onto her defense, you know. You must say something, why don't you say something? Now, you see the training. The training is an important thing, very important thing. And those old people, then they didn't take their daughters to be just money machines. They didn't take them to be just cooks, but they made them like queens. They must look after and manage all their affairs. See how to manage, how to look after, how to make, not to break. Now either we make them money machines, or we make them cooks. But to make them woman, you know, to make them insan. That is not our concern. Yes, everything that is against insaniyat, we will teach them. You got a problem with this phone up. You know. We're just a few fingers away. Just touch the fingers and you are here. So she would say this much. You know, my mother asked me not to backchat. No matter what, just hold on. Even if you have to lump it, you know, just lump it. Just keep quiet. Don't say anything. Don't say a word. So she would cry sometimes. She would come red, cry. Because she's all alone. And this one is giving it to her. The old woman must, I will say, she's not doing it intentionally. She says, hey, whatever comes in front of her, she's just letting go, letting drive. Right? But what this one was taught, she must take it. So now, she made a beautiful home. And she made a beautiful home. Afterwards, people realized and they showed her the respect. Now, the whole family would respect her. But see how it starts off from. Where it starts off from, and then how she wins the respect and the cooperation of the entire family. Everybody is looking towards her. Our Zughanuddin, this was their concern. Yahan aate ho to aakar ke aadmiyat ko seekho. Learn how to become an aadmi. Not just ibadat. Ibadat is great. But Learn, understand what it is. Because you're going to be living with Adni. And they say the reason for that is, what's the reason for learning Adniyat? Why they prefer that? Says, let's see. When you look at Ibadat, right, as great as it is, then it is connected to Allah Ta'ala. Right? ibadat connects to who? Right. And if there is some defect in it, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah Ta'ala is not like us, have feelings, you know. Does Allah Ta'ala have feelings? Not feeling like us. We feel, we have memories, you know, we have remnants, all that. Allah Ta'ala doesn't have all this. Right? But when we hurt someone, doesn't he have a memory? Doesn't he remnants? Doesn't he feel pain? He feels all this. So when you know what is admiyat, when you're talking, when you're doing something, then you're thinking, all right, I'm saying this thing here, I'm doing this thing, this is my behavior. Is it going to hurt that person? How is he going to take it? So you're going to think like this, whether it is in his presence, whether it is in his absence. But if he gets to know about it, how will he feel? So you're thinking about it all the time. When you're thinking about it all the time, and you're not just acting spontaneously, then the chances for you hurting someone will be very little. You'll not hurt anybody. So now, when you're not going to hurt, you're thinking, then you are a joy. Anybody feels happy around you. This person, you don't feel. You won't be hurt around him. You won't be taunted around him. You won't be humiliated around him. You won't be shouted at. You know, I was looking at some of the statements of Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he says, live with people with ease and compassion. But live with people with ease, compassion, and tolerance. Because you'll have some upheavals, etc. So ease, tolerance, and compassion. Now the other word is very important, but if you just analyze it, it's a very great word. But don't be like a dog barking around. Okay. Now that must be directed to the individual, to you. See what he's saying? That last piece you must say to yourself. More than saying it to others, you must say it to yourself. Everything I'm shouting, then I'm like a dog then. I'm barking, just barking around. Don't be like that. See that dog, any small thing, you just come there, just barking. That's not asking, who are you? Why did you come? Have you got any reason to come? But you know, it doesn't bark. So you don't be like that dog, you become indiscriminate. There's anything and everything, you just start shouting. See? So when you address yourself like that, then you'll feel embarrassed. Hey, now, if I'm going to behave like this, then what's the difference between me and a dog? That thing also is indiscriminate. It just carries on. Just let's try. So this last statement must be directed to the individual more than it's directed to people. How much you can open up your mind? How much? So nonetheless, now Hazrat Tamim Sahib Rahmatullah starts the conversation. So Mawla says that, you know, I've been to Raipur once, and after that I didn't have the courage to go again. I went once and I didn't have the courage to go again. So obviously, one Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he asked, but what happened? You know, you came once and then after that you lost the courage to come again. So he said, yes, when Hazrat Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had passed on, so I felt the next greatest person in my understanding is Mawla Raipuri Sahib, that is Mawla Raipuri Junior, he is Sheikh. Mawla Raipuri Senior was Mawla Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri. So I felt that he was the next greatest person. So to show my regards and my respects, I went there. And I went there now, contrary to what I expected, Mawla showed me a lot of regards, a lot of respect, a lot of regards. So much of respect, I began to feel a little bit embarrassed. Then my embarrassment hit the fan, like, you know, you say it hit the fan. And what happened after that is after meals, after we'd taken meals and all that, then the visitors, their charpais, their bedding, etc. was arranged. So I was taken to my bedding. At about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, when my eyes opened up, and I saw someone with a big stick, you know, and he's walking around. Just where I was, and I was walking around there. So I looked carefully, I saw this is one another. I put himself around there. I said, what happened? Is there any problem? So if anybody's been to Raipur, you know, now Raipur is like right in the sticks, right? Right? Sticks. So he's, Mawlana Raipur says to us, Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi, yahan ke log bedhange hai. These people here, villages, they got no style. So I'm afraid someone will just go past, he may just shout or something, and he will disturb your sleep. So I'm staying awake to ensure that nobody disturbs and interrupts your sleep. So Masi Devi, I said, no, mera yahan par aana band ho gaya. Now I can't come to this place here. So much of respect shown to me, I came for the other reason that I will have someone senior to me. And the senior is showing me so much of regards now, I'm feeling embarrassed. See the regards, consideration, respect, right? All these things adds up. In that admiyat, all these things adds up. He's showing that respect, he's showing this respect. It's such a beautiful environment to be, like living amongst parishtas. You know, when you look at that, like as though it's parishtas that we're living amongst. You know. Anyway, then Mawlana continued. Now it's a guest now. It's a guest, you make the person feel comfortable, right? Here again now, it's another point to illustrate. Right? Overall, we don't get involved in layani, things that don't concern us. Now it's a guest. When it's a guest, then one, two things are said at that occasion that is not normally not spoken about. Right? Say one, two things. Why you say it? To make the first person relax. Now it's a guest. Now you say, hey, my sheikh told me you mustn't speak anything layani. So you're silent. You're absolutely silent. Now, how does the person feel? He feels awkward. He feels uncomfortable. Now, that's an occasion you must say something. Right? Say something that is of common interest. Common interest, no ghibat, nothing. That will cheer the person up. Something that's of common interest. Right? Now, unfortunately, common sense also, iski bhi baat karni padti hai. Jo ghar ki akal rakhta ho, wo samajh leta hai, got common sense, you understand these things. But now, that is what Mawlana is saying, yahan par aakar ke in buzurgo ki zok usi ko, understand style, ways, taste. So Thanvi Sabraham again starts and he says, I came once there, but I don't remember seeing you. First he said that I came there. Gave the reason, right? And gave the reason why he didn't go for the second time. And then he says that I came there, but I don't remember seeing you. So, Mawlana Raipuri said, now it was the time for him to speak. He said, where can you remember an insignificant soul like me? See now, still speaking with so much of humility, thinking nothing of himself. An insignificant person, like, how can you remember? But as you may remember, that there was one youngster, right, who had a three-quarter pants, you know, like to the half of the shin bone, and he had a waistcoat, that waistcoat that they wear in winter, Adi Astin ki Italia. So he had been wearing a waistcoat, and he'd been attending to all the mehman, washing their hands, laying out the beds, etc., etc. So you remember that there was aisa nojawan Punjabi kuch mere dhyan mein. There was a Punjabi youngster. I can remember there was one said that I was that person. Right. So that more time Sabrahman then said, Har ke khidmat kunad makhdoom shud. The person that does khidmat, eventually people attend to him. When you are respectful, when you got regards, when you got consideration for others, for your elders, then your juniors will also show you respect. You had consideration, respect, regards for your elders, your juniors will show you the same. He sat for some time, and then perhaps it was nearly namaz time, so they were getting up. Right? So they could see that Rahmatullah is aged now, and he's finding a little bit difficult to get up. So Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah helped him to get up. So at that time, Mawlana has said something very strange. You know. Very strange. He said, Aage bhi khyaal rakhna. You thought of me here, after I'm dead and gone also, then to think of me. That's what he meant, inshallah. See how these elders, how they think. How they think, how they reason, their style, their spirit, etc. It can't come on your own. What we think, let's read on kitab, everything will come. That kitab, that talim has to be done every day. This will support it, alright. This was what it was mentioned in the kitab, and this is how it pans out, this is how it features. So what was read, this is how it features. This is how it features. So when you add the boat, you get the full picture. And if you just keep one thing, now you don't know how it works exactly. You don't know how it works. You just read one thing. Now you need both. In life also, you need both. Don't you need a manual? And you need someone to instruct you as well. You need a manual. A simple thing like tailoring. Can you just take a book and become a tailor? Can't. Simple thing, such a simple thing. But you can't. You have to get the training of an expert tailor. And you get the instruction from him. Then you understand, you see the thing in perspective. Allah Akbar.